Senate will please come to order. The clerk will please call the roll.
Atkinson. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Bonamici. Boquist. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Dingfelder. Ferrioli.
Ready to go?
George.
Ready to
Gerard.
Go. Okay.
Hass. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Monis Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Prozonsky. Prozonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Starr. Telfer. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Winters. President Courtney.
The quorum being present, we will post the colors, and Senator Gerard will lead us in the pledge.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our invocation today is by our own Senator Rod Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for the many blessings that you bestowed upon us. We thank you for the springtime weather. We thank you for the flowers and the birds, and yes, even for the spring rains. We thank you particularly this morning for the beautiful Easter time that you gave us, or Passover time, where we celebrate things that are important to our lives and to this world. Now, Lord, we would ask for your guidance, because the people of this state in this very difficult time are looking upon this body, your Oregon State Senate, for leadership and for guidance to bring us out of this terrible, troubled time. Lord, we would ask that you would continuously remind us that there are people out there that are suffering, and there are people out there that will die if we make the wrong decisions. So, Lord, guide our decision-making, and be with us, each one of us, in everything that we do and say. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Senator Monroe, for your invocation. Senator Gerard, for leading us in the pledge. Thank you. Courtesies. Remonstrances. Recognize Senator Jason Atkinson.
Mr. President, thank you very much. Mr. President, I went home this weekend for Easter, just as a didn't actually plan to go, but ended up going. And I just wanted to remonstrate and tell you that Oregon is alive and well with goodness as my beloved 200,000-mile Suburban blew up on the side of the road, stranding me and my family and beloved dog. It was some fantastic Oregonians who came to my rescue, and just a few phone calls later, I had a borrowed truck like any good Oregonian can grab. I had somebody towing it, and I had a place to fix it, and it all worked out because just some fantastic people in Senator Cruz's district bailed me out. So I just wanted to say thank you to all those people who are doubting if the scrubby guy in the cutoff shorts and the ripped T-shirt really was a state senator. I am, and I'm calling to say thank you.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Larry George.
Colleagues, we've all had updates on the budget and what's going on with the budget, and I want to bring up one of the problems that we have, which is priorities. In schools across Oregon today, there are over $500 million worth of shovel-ready facilities for improvements. Many of these projects are green energy projects that would bring more efficient energy to our schools. Let me give you a couple ideas of some of the things that are on that list. Boiler replacements, $8 million. Geothermal heat conversion projects, $900,000. HVAC equipment that needs replacing for energy conservation, $8 million. Solar upgrades, $6 million. These projects are ready to go right now. They are ready to go right now. They just don't have the resources. Meanwhile, back in 1999, we sent money to the Public Utilities Commission, and through rule, they created a nonprofit called the Energy Trust of Oregon. They were supposed to spend about $35 million per biennium on energy conservation projects. Here is the main point. That fund has grown from $35 million to over $125 million in just 8 years. That's a $480 million increase in just 8 years. And yet, while the Energy Trust of Oregon continues to hand out fistful of dough to big corporations, Oregon schools can't afford to put in new windows, new boilers, or upgrade to solar panels. This is a question about priorities and what do we value most, Oregon classroom or corporate giveaways? A bill that the senator from Scappoose and I are putting forward would restore the Energy Trust of Oregon to its original amount, and the rest would go to Oregon schools and local government projects to make sure that we're putting energy conservation first in our schools. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Message from the House.
Mr. President, I am directed by the Speaker to inform you that the House has passed House Bills 2127, 2418, 2506, 2610, 2613, Senate Bill 213, and adopted House Concurrent Resolution 4, House Joint Memorial 3, House Joint Resolution 40, Senate Joint Memorial 3.
Reports from conference committees. Reports from standing committees in accordance with SR 8.551, committee report summary number 62 and 63 were distributed to members April 10th. Report summary number 6-4 was distributed today. This information will be recorded in the Journal and State's report in so ordered. Reports of special committees. Proposition and motion. I now recognize Senator Richard Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Democrats request a 15-minute caucus in their normal caucus room.
Ditto, Mr. President. Republicans caucus upstairs for 15 minutes.
Well, The Senate will please come to order. The clerk will please call the roll.
Atkinson, Atkinson, Bates, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Boquist, Burdick, Burdick, Carter, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, Ferrioli, George, George, Gerard, Gerard, Haas, Haas, Johnson, Johnson, Cruz, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Morse, Nelson, Nelson, Przonsky, Przonsky, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Starr, Telfer, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Whitsett, Winters, Winters, President Courtney.
Yeah, he's here. A quorum is present. The Senate recessed under the order of propositions and motions and will resume under that order and is so ordered. Recognize Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I move that consideration of SB 61 be taken from its place on today's calendar and placed on the Monday, April 27th calendar.
Senator Devlin has moved that the Senate Bill 61 be taken from its place on today's calendar and placed on Monday, April 27th calendar. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. Moving this to that date might expedite our consideration of other measures today.
Discussion? The question is on taking SB 61 from today's calendar and placing it on Monday's 27th calendar. All those in favor of the motion will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, no. The motion has carried. Action on executive appointments requiring Senate confirmation. Introduction and first reading of Senate measures. Second reading of Senate measures.
Senate Joint Resolution 30, expressing support for Oregon Progress Board and developing Oregon Shines 3. Senate Memorial 1, urging Congress to pass legislation directing federal agency to establish accurate measure of poverty for determination of eligibility for federal programs. Senate Bill 5507, relating to financial administration of State Board of Chiropractic Examiners and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 5508, relating to financial administration of the State Board of Clinical Social Workers and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 5509, relating to financial administration of the State Board of Clinical Social Workers and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 5515, relating to financial administration of Oregon Board of Licensed Professional Counselors and Therapists and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 5516 relating to financial administration of Oregon Board of Dentistry and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 5517 relating to financial administration of Oregon Board of Dentistry and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 5538 relating to financial administration of State Board of Psychologist Examiners and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 5546 relating to financial administration of State Board of Tax Practitioners and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 102 relating to solid fuel burning devices. Senate Bill 180 relating to consolidated state tax returns.
These are passed to the calendar. We're now under the third reading of Senate measures. The clerk will read the bill, please.
Senate Joint Memorial 12, urging Congress to enact tax refund intercept legislation permitting federal tax refunds to be used to pay overdue court-ordered financial obligations owed to states.
Recognize Senator Suzanne Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, the state of Oregon is owed more than $1 billion in unpaid restitution, fines, fees, and penalties. And there's a tool that our state could use if authorized. That's a federal tax refund intercept. In order for that to happen, we need congressional approval, which is precisely what Senate Joint Memorial 12 urges. Similar legislation was proposed in the prior session of Congress, and it's my understanding that Senator Wyden has agreed to sponsor this legislation and is developing bipartisan support for that measure. A companion bill, Senate Bill 93, is now before our Ways and Means Subcommittee on Public Safety, and that bill will allow our state court administrator to enter into the requisite intergovernmental agreements with the United States Financial Management Service and Internal Revenue Service for the purposes of collecting delinquent accounts by intercepting federal tax refunds. As stated by Oregon Supreme Court Chief Justice Demunis, this authority could not come at a better time. Colleagues, Oregon could collect as much as $60 million in unpaid fines if federal tax refunds were available and this legislation is enacted. Please join me in voting aye to adopt Senate Joint Memorial 12 and urge Congress to enact the legislation we need to allow Oregon to collect delinquent obligations owed to the state. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Discussion.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, call.
Okay. The gentleman has been handed a call of the Senate. He is joined by Senator Metzger and Senator Rosenbaum. The doorkeepers will bar the doors, and the sergeant-at-arms will attend. The clerk will please call the roll.
Atkinson. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Dingfelder. Farioli. George. Gerard. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Monis Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Winters.
Do you want to close?
President Courtney.
He is here. Who's not here? Senator Winters. All members that are subject to the call are now present. Question now rises upon a third reading, the final passage of SJM 12. Those opinion of the bill shall pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Walker. Whitsett. Whitsett? Winters. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Carter.
Senator Carter.
Devlin. Dingfelder. Farioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Monis Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Telfer, Verger, Walker, oh, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused, Walker, 29 ayes.
SJM 12, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 105 relating to penalties for environmental laws.
Recognize Senator Mark Hass.
Thank you, Mr. President. Most of you know Oregon is tough on crime. Because of Measure 11, we have some of the strongest criminal penalties in the country. And because Oregon is tough on crime, crime rates are lower. In part because bad guys are behind bars and can't commit crimes, and in part because the bad guys on the outside understand the consequences if they do. Unfortunately, it isn't so when it comes to environmental bad guys. We have some of the weakest penalties in the country, so weak that last year the Bush administration asked Oregon to raise its penalties on polluters. The legislation before you does that. The current fines are $10,000 for most environmental crimes, with the average negotiated settlement at $3,900. We had testimony in our committee that at that level, the fine is no longer a deterrent, and it is potentially becoming simply a cost of doing business, if it hasn't already. These fines were set in 1973 and have not been raised since then. Senate Bill 105 increases the maximum penalty of $25,000 per serious violations for environmental crimes that involve solid waste, old tires, toxic chemicals, and items containing mercury. Even with that, this bill is still well below the federal level of $37,000. This bill also gives Oregon the discretion to determine in assessing these fines to consider whether the violator gained an economic benefit as a result. That's important because, yes, accidents do happen. But when a river is polluted in the name of profit, then the offender, just like a Measure 11 offender, should pay a price. There was no opposition in committee from business to this bill other than to request we delay the effective date by 1 year to coincide with the completion of rulemaking to administer these changes. And so the bill was amended to do just that. Mr. President, when a river is contaminated or polluted, it can never be restored to its original state. Never. When a chemical is used to clean up a river, it's really just a less toxic chemical to clean up a more toxic chemical. It never returns to its original state. What price can you put on that? There's a reason Oregonians want tough penalties on criminals, because they won't tolerate the behavior that harms others. And the same is true with this. So if you support tough criminal penalties set forth by Measure 11, I hope you'll also support these tough criminal penalties set forth to protect Oregon's environment. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Recognize Senator Gerard, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. To the bill. Colleagues, I'll be voting no on this bill for a couple reasons. One is the amalgam clause, which is under on page one. If somebody throws away an encapsulated bunch of mercury, they can have a fine of $25,000. A common thermometer oftentimes has mercury in it and would subject them to that fine. Also, dentists commonly use mercury as well, and I think a $25,000 fine is absolutely outrageous. The second reason is I have 18 small cities in my district, 18. A $25,000 fine over sewage being placed in the river or solid waste is a lot different to them than it is to the city of Portland. As most of us know, the number one polluter in the state's the city of Portland. So I'd really find it really kind of ironic that we don't differentiate as to the size of the spill. And I think that that would be important, especially when it deals with small cities. The third is we've kind of taken away the way that we quantify the size of the spill and the damage of the spill by the animals that it kills. And if you look at Section 3, we've eliminated that section. So for those three reasons, especially the solid waste argument, I don't think it's right that if Portland spills 10 times what Staten spills, that the fine should be the same. So for those reasons, I'll be voting no on this bill.
Thank you, Senator. I recognize Senator Brian Boquist, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Permission to use a visual aid?
Please feel free to do so.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I wasn't in committee the day we passed this out, so I'll get to make my speech here and make my vote note here. It was mentioned that we have an issue at hand here, and I recall somebody telling me years ago, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And this is one of those cases. There's no doubt that all of us in this chamber believe we ought to be tough on crime. There's no doubt that we ought to be tough on, you know, serious environmental offenders, and we ought to enforce the existing laws we have. On your desk, I had a little flyer printed and put out there. And so I want to tell you a story about that flyer. Before I tell you a story about that, what we're talking about is raising not the fines from $10,000, work from $10,000 a day. Let me say that again. It's not a $10,000 fine. It's $10,000 per day to $25,000 per day for various types of fines. Now, I walked down through the parking garage this morning so I could just figure out which of us could pay the $10,000 a day fine and which of us could pay the $25,000 a day fine. And by the way, I looked at most of your cars. I don't think you can pay the $10,000 a day fine yourselves. And I know at $25,000, only one person on the podium up there who has a red sports car could probably make the $25,000 a day fine. So the question is what is it we're addressing and where is it we're addressing? And this is where my concern is. It's not when someone seriously violates a law that we're talking about. There's a little place called Haines, Oregon, over on the eastern side. And mind you, I didn't dig this example up. I simply asked the agency to send me an example. And this is what they sent me. over in Haines, Oregon. If you don't know where Haines, Oregon is, that's where we used to form up our cattle drives that made the western part or the eastern part of the state famous over there. Now, Haines, Oregon, of course, right now is a railroad stop in a little town of 435 people. You will not see it when you go to the eastern side on the freeway because the freeway was built miles away. Now, in this little town of 435 people over there, one of the local businesses, a small business, got one of these fines within the last year. $10,000 fine would have been $12,000 had they more authority to do so. But here's a statement that I'd just like you to think about when you go to voting. Here's what is alleged that transpired. The company is licensed, this is the person who got fined, is licensed by the Department of Motor Vehicles to store a large number of tires on the property and is, or should be, aware that storage is regulated. The department is concerned the company didn't take necessary measures to ensure that the tires stored on the property were protected from fire risks. So this wasn't one of these cases where there was some evil do-gooder out there. This is a case where somebody screwed up and they should have known better, and so therefore we fined them $10,000. The reason I raise that this issue up is it brings me back to when I was a kid. When I was a kid, about this time was April 15th, and my father was a self-employed dairy farmer. I joined the Army to go get a college education because we couldn't afford to pay for three kids to go to college. In fact, none of us could afford to go to college. We had to all pay our own way through there. And at tax time, my father would go through the legal bills as a farmer. And we, on a routine basis, when I was growing up, got letters like this when I was in high school. You get this little letter, and it was a form letter from this agency that said, you're being fined $10,000 a day because of this pollution in your stream next to your farm. And if you didn't pay the fine, or you didn't get a hold of DEQ, or you didn't politely talk to them, you got another letter a couple days later. So now we're up about three or four of these things, and they start to stack up. My mom used to get real upset about those. Now, if you walked down to that stream that went across our property, you would see that the pollution was coming from the other side of our property, miles upstream, and it came across us. But we got these stacks of letters. And our neighbors and the neighboring farmers got these stacks of letters about these fines. I'm not aware of anybody that ever paid one in the end, but I'm aware that on April 15th, my father went over the legal bills. We had to pay the lawyers to go back to these agencies, this specific agency, and say, hey, you're wrong. Anybody with common sense can see that it isn't coming through here. Now, were we exonerated? Yes. Did I get my way paid to college? No. In a bad year, did we go on a family vacation? No, we couldn't afford to. We're not talking about corporations out here. We're talking about the little guy on the street. That's what we're talking about, the little guy on the street. I think $10,000 goes a long ways today. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Dave Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm rising in opposition to this bill. I have 28 cities in my district. The largest city is about 17,000. Most of them are just very small cities, and they tell me they just absolutely wonder what we're doing down here trying to pass a bill like this that may actually put them out of business. So I'll be a no on this vote.
Thank you, Senator Nelson. Further discussion? Senator Hast, do you wish to close?
Yes, sir. Thank you. I very much appreciate this debate and that brought about by the good senator from Polk County about the story from Haines. And I would like to, rather than to debate that case, I have a story too. In 2006, a diesel fuel tanker owned by an out-of-state company operating under an assumed business name crashed on Highway 38 at milepost 18 in Douglas County. And as a result of this crash, 8,300 gallons of diesel fuel spilled to the ground and into the Umpqua River. In the days following the spill, an unknown amount of diesel continued to flow and migrate up the Umpqua River. The Oregon State Police cited the driver with reckless driving and for failure to remain within a traffic lane and for driving too fast. Because of the high toxicity and large quantity of fuel spilled, monitoring and cleanup measures at the site continued for more than a year after the crash. The equipment that was required for a company with a permit to haul this material wasn't there. And the driver was cited. The fine there was $20,000 total for a spill whose effects continued a year afterwards. This bill will help increase those kind of penalties so that there's more of a deterrent for people who are under permit to carry toxic chemicals and to haul them. These are not little guys. These are companies who first have to have a permit to do this. They're not going to pull someone out of their home or off a bicycle and fine them $10,000 a day. These are permit holders we're talking about here. And we're not talking about a business climate situation. There's no good or bad business climate to pollute a river. So for all of those reasons, Mr. President, I think it's time we get tougher on environmental violations than we have, at least tougher since 1973, and I urge your support.
Question now arises upon the third reading, the final passage of Senate Bill 105. Those the opinion bills shall pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Farioli. George. Girard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Prozonsky, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused, Walker, voting no, Boquist, Farioli, George, Girard, Cruz, Morse, Nelson, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Whitsett, Winters, 16 ayes.
Senate Bill 105, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 117, relating to dentistry.
Recognize Senator Alan Bates, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, the last time I carried a bill that involved the Dental Practices Act, I co-carried it with our good Senator Jeff Cruz, the good senator from Roseburg. We carried that bill on the House floor about 6 years ago, and it was defeated 58-2. Let's hope this bill does better. Senator Girard, I hope you can support this bill. Oregon's unique, and I mean unique, Dental Practice Act requires that a dental practice be owned by a dentist or a dentist with a few exceptions. Senate Bill 117 would provide an exemption for the Oregon University system to allow Portland State University and the University of Oregon to continue to operate existing dental clinics. Until last year, these clinics were operating under the assumption that ORS 351.070, one we all know well, allowing universities to operate as student health centers was sufficient. The Oregon Board of Dentistry corrected this perspective, and the Oregon University System brought forth this legislation to bring them into compliance with the law. While the Dental Practice Act is in need of updating, it is urgent for the sake of thousands of low-income university students receiving care from these clinics that Senate Bill 117 be approved today. I urge your support of Senate Bill 117. I don't want to hear about anybody wanting to drill down on this bill. Let's go ahead and vote it out. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion. The chair recognizes Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. President, colleagues. This gives us an excellent, by the way, Senator Bates and I were the only two in the House that were right on the issue. But this gives us an excellent opportunity to prove that the Senate is a more deliberative body than the House of Representatives. And I wore my pink shirt as a sign of solidarity. So please vote yes on this bill.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion. Chair recognizes Senator Montes Anderson.
Mr. Chair, Mr. President. This is a problem. We don't want to have any more bills like this coming to the floor, as far as I'm concerned. And we have let the Board of Dentistry know that in the interim, we are going to take a look at why we are the only state in the nation that requires a dental practice to be owned by a dentist. Otherwise, there are a number of different ways that people are getting around the system legally, and so we are going to be looking at that, and hopefully we'll have a good bill so we will never have another bill like this again. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Bates, do you wish to close?
Only to reiterate that what the good Senator Mons Anderson said is what I was going to say for my closing. We do need to fix the Dental Practices Act in a more universal way. Let's get this one out today and let the task force or work group take care of it during the interim and come back with something that resolves this problem. I don't want to be out here doing this again. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. The question now arises on third reading, final passage of Senate Bill 117A. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson.
Yes.
Bates.
Aye.
Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick.
Aye.
Carter.
Aye.
Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder.
Aye.
Farioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Gerard.
Aye.
Haas.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przanski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, President Courtney, President Courtney, excused Walker, 29 ayes.
Senate Bill 117A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 182, related to treatment of financial organizations and tax law and prescribing an effective date.
Chair recognizes Senator Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I bring you Senate Bill 182A, which comes from the Committee on Finance and Revenue. And the bill makes a simple change, and it's one that really comes from the Multi-State Tax Commission. Simply adopts a uniform definition of a financial institution, thereby replacing two definitions that are currently in statute, neither of which is consistent with this recommendation. The bill is effective for tax years beginning on or after January 1st of 2009. And because there are two definitions currently in statute, there's a potential for different tax treatment for entities that may be functionally similar to each other but fit into the different definitions. This is simply a streamlining approach and one that, as I said before, is recommended by the National Multi-State Tax Commission. I recommend your aye vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? If not, Senator Rosenbaum, do you wish to close? She does not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 182A. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson.
No.
Bates. Bonamici. Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick.
Aye.
Carter. Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder.
Aye.
Farioli.
No.
George. Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger,
aye.
Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przanski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney,
yeah.
Excused Carter, Johnson, Bates, Walker, voting no, Atkinson, Farioli, George, Gerard, Cruz, Nelson, Starr, Telfer, Whitsett, Winters, 16 ayes.
Senator Boquist, for what purpose do you rise?
Rising to change my vote to a no vote. I voted the wrong way. Good colleague was talking to me.
Senator Devlin, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. Chairman, I move to change my vote to no for purpose of possible reconsideration.
Okay.
Did he say 16?
I said 16.
Okay. She's not showing it.
Senator Boquist has changed his vote without objection, and, well, no objection is required at that point. Senator Devlin has voted no.
Mr. Chairman, what is the current vote count?
Current vote is aye 15 and nay. How many do we have nays? 12. Not everyone is attendance, Senator, so it is 15-12.
Mr. President, point of order.
State your point.
Does that include my vote as a no? Okay.
Secretary
of Senate
says it's now 14.
Okay, Mr. President, change my vote to no, serve notice of possible reconsideration.
Senate Bill 182A, having failed to receive the constitutional majority, has failed. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 378, relating to Long-Term Care Advisory Committee and declaring an emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Devlin. Senator Devlin. On Senate Bill 378.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 378 comes to you from the Rules Committee with a unanimous due pass recommendation. It makes changes to the process of appointing members to the Long-Term Care Advisory Committee. It provides that the Senate doesn't have to confirm appointments made by the legislature, and it clarifies that committee members cannot have a financial interest or involvement in long-term care facilities. The background of this is the committee is comprised of 7 members, 4 appointed by the legislature and 3 by the governor. Currently, the Senate confirms all appointments. It is quite irregular for them actually normally to confirm legislative appointments. The Long-Term Care Advisory Committee's primary purpose is to oversee the Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program, which investigates and resolves complaints concerning residents of long-term care facilities.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? Chair recognizes Senator Girard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I need to declare a potential conflict.
Please state your conflict.
I have interest in long-term and assisted care facilities.
Your conflict will be noted for the record. Chair recognizes Senator George.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to vote no on this bill. And colleagues, since I've had the honor of serving with all of you, we seem to continue to do things that take away from our power as an institution of the Senate. I know it seems small, and I know it seems like we're expediting here, but the fact is that we continue to transfer a lot of our authority to the executive branch, to agencies. I think it diminishes our role. So I'm going to be voting no on, I think it's probably fine public policy, but I'm afraid of what we're doing to the institution of the Senate. So I'll be voting no. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Senator Devlin, do you wish to close?
No, Mr. President, but call of the Senate.
Senator Devlin has demanded a call of the Senate. He is joined by Senator Courtney and Senator Rosenbaum. The doorkeepers will bar the doors, the sergeant-at-arms will attend, and the clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Girard. Hass. Johnson. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przanski. Rosenbaum. Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
All those subject to the call are present. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 378. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Boquist.
Senator Boquist, how do you vote?
Burdick. Carter. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Farioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Pozanski. Pozanski. Rosenbaum. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Verger.
Senator Verger.
Who?
Verger. Senator Telfer?
No, Verger.
Verger. Senator Verger.
Walker. Whitsett. Winters. President Court. Oh, Atkinson. Atkinson. President Courtney. Excused Walker, voting no, George, Gerard, Cruz, and Whitsett. 25 ayes.
Senate Bill 378A, after a very long process, is declared passed. Recognize Senator Devlin.
President, colleagues, having voted on the prevailing side, I serve notice of immediate reconsideration and move the immediate reconsideration of the vote on SB 182.
Having voted on the prevailing side, Senator Devlin requests reconsideration and immediate reconsideration of the vote on Senate Bill 182. To your motion.
Thank you. I believe I had a couple of members that were not present on the floor. I believe the outcome will now be different.
He's a seer. Is there further discussion?
Call, Mr. President.
Senator Devlin has demanded a call of the Senate. He is joined by Senator Monroe and Senator Bates. The doorkeepers will bar the doors. The sergeant-at-arms will attend, and the clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson. Bates.
I should.
Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Farioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Here.
Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Pozanski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. President Courtney.
All senators subject to the call are present, and I'll just remind my colleagues, if we could be, just focus for a few minutes, we might actually get through the agenda here. The question is on the reconsideration of the vote on Senate Bill 182. Those in favor answer aye as their names are called on reconsideration. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick.
Senator Burdick?
Carter. Devlin. Dinkfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Pass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Prezansky. Prezansky.
Senator Prezansky.
Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Ferger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Walker. Voting no. Atkinson. Boquist. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Cruz. Nelson. Starr. Telfer. Whitsett. Winters. 18 ayes.
The motion has carried. Senate Bill 182A is back before the body. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 182 relating to treatment of financial organizations and tax law and prescribing an effective date.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senator Rosenbaum, do you have any final comment before we revote on Senate Bill 182A?
Good bill should pass.
Okay, the question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 182A. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names will call. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dinkfelder. Ferrioli. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Prezansky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Ferger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. President Courtney. Excused. Walker. Voting no. Atkinson. Boquist. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Cruz. Nelson. Starr. Telfer. Whitsett. Winters. 18 ayes.
Senate Bill 182A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Senator Morris, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Request return to courtesies.
Without objection, we'll return to the order of courtesies.
Mr. President, would ask that you extend courtesies to the Central Elementary class of 23 students, fifth grade students, that are in the south or the west gallery. I'm sure that they have been enjoying the process here this morning, as it's a little different than normal. So would request that you acknowledge them and welcome them to the Capitol today, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator, and welcome all you young people coming to your state capitol today, and hope you enjoy it immensely and many lessons learned from your experience. Senator Atkinson, for what purpose do you rise?
I return the order of courtesies.
All right, we're still under the order of courtesies. Please,
Mr.
proceed.
President, joining us on the South Aisle are some folks that just sleepy-eyed got up very early in the morning and drove all the way up here from Southern Oregon, representing the Rogue Valley Youth Correctional Facility, and I would like courtesies extended to them.
Thank you, and certainly courtesies are extended. Thanks for coming to the Capitol today, and hope you enjoy this day at your state capitol. We'll now return to the regular order of business under third readings, and the clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 609 relating to protective orders and tax court proceedings prescribing an effective date.
Chair recognizes Senator Telfer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 609A was advanced to the Senate floor with a unanimous due pass as amended recommendation. Senate Bill relates to preserving the confidentiality of taxpayer business records, tax returns, and documents containing trade secrets during the appeals process. There are basically three provisions in the bill. Number one, it allows either party, the taxpayer or the Oregon Department of Revenue, in an appeal proceeding before the Oregon Tax Court to request a protective order for confidential information introduced at trial or requested during pretrial discovery. Current law limits protective orders to only taxpayer records introduced into evidence at trial. Number two, the bill allows an appeal of a court magistrate's decision granting or denying a protective order to be taken first to the regular division of the Oregon Tax Court. Current law requires an appeal of the magistrate's protective order decision to be taken directly to the Supreme Court, a very time-consuming and expensive process. Thirdly, the bill requires that appeals of a magistrate's protective order decision must be decided by the regular division of the Oregon Tax Court within 90 days unless the court determines that it needs more time. Current law does not impose any decision timelines. The provisions of Senate Bill 609A were negotiated and agreed to by Representatives AOI, the Department of Revenue, the Department of Justice, and the Office of the State Court Administrator. What Senate Bill 609A does is it adds fairness to the tax appeals process by assuring taxpayers that, one, the evidence they submit to substantiate their appeal, whether they be business records, tax returns, and documents containing trade secrets, these documents will be protected from public disclosure through a court-imposed protective order, and number two, that an additional and less costly avenue exists for them to appeal a protective order decision.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? If not, the question now arises on third reading, final passage of Senate Bill 609A. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Farioli. George. Gerard. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette.
Senator Morissette.
Morse. Nelson. Nelson. Prozonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Ferger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Walker, 29 ayes.
Senate Bill 609A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 802, relating to distilled liquor.
Chair recognizes Senator Bates.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, to bring us home this morning, colleagues, I'm going to bring you a bill that I hope you'll remember me for long after I'm gone. It's one we can all drink to. In addition to our world-famous craft breweries and wineries, Oregon has experienced growth in small-batch production of handcrafted distilled spirits. For those of you who don't know what that is, that's hard liquor. And we have several of these in the state now, one in Ashland. I know of one in Bend, if I'm correct in Bend, and one or two up in Portland. In response to the growth, Oregon law changed in 2008 to allow new business opportunities for craft distillers and help to promote the industry. Consequently, craft distilleries can offer tasting samples of their products at their distilleries or at separate tasting rooms or sell their products by glass or drink at restaurants at their distillery or other locations. Something I haven't had an opportunity to do yet, but I'm looking forward to it in early July, colleagues. Distilleries can also sell bottled products manufactured at the distillery directly to consumers. But unlike breweries and wineries, craft distilleries cannot sponsor special events. Senate Bill 802A adds special events to the marketing possibilities for OLCC-licensed craft distilleries. Senate Bill 802A limits these special events distilleries licensed to periods not exceeding 5 days and requires licensees to purchase the distilled liquor for special events from the OLCC. I recommend a yes vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion? If not, question now arises on third reading, final passage of Senate Bill 802A. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. As their names are called, those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Farioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson. Monroe.
No.
Morissette. Morse. Nelson.
Aye.
Przonski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader. Starr. Starr. Telfer.
Aye.
Verger.
Aye.
Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Boquist.
Senator Boquist. Senator Boquist.
Burdick. President Courtney. Excused. Walker, voting no. Monroe, 28 ayes.
Senate Bill 802A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. First reading of House measures.
House Concurrent Resolution 4, congratulating Heart of Valley Children's Choir on 25 years of achievement and service to youth of Mid-Willamette Valley. House Joint Memorial 3, urging Congress to increase funding and eligibility for fee-basis payments for veterans and to review simplifying fee-basis statutes and regulations regarding payment eligibility. House Joint Resolution 40, recognizing Dr. Jane Lubchenco for contributions to marine biology and understanding of climate change and service to Oregon. House Bill 2127, relating to notices in contested cases. House Bill 2418, relating to persons exempt from real estate licensing law. House Bill 2506, relating to persons subject to regulation by Oregon Board of Licensed Professional Counselors and Therapists. House Bill 2610, relating to healthcare professionals. House Bill 2613, relating to provision of utility services to tenants and declaring an emergency.
Transmitted to the President's desk for referral. Second reading of House measures. Third reading of House measures. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2540, relating to unemployment insurance compensation taxes for musicians and declaring an emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Przonski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, House Bill 2540 comes out of your Commerce and Workforce Development Committee. It came out on the 5-0 vote. Colleagues, what this bill is going to do, it's going to actually do what most of us already thought was occurring. That is, if you engage the services of a musician, that they will be considered an independent contractor, not your employee. Apparently, the way the statute's currently written, if you don't have a contract between yourself and whoever you're hiring as a musician that says that they are an independent contractor, then they are considered an employee. And so, basically, since you don't want to be playing unemployment taxes for someone that you thought was a independent contractor, this will take care of that and make certain all these different venues that are actually hiring these individuals or groups to perform at their location are not considered their employer. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? If not, the question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2548. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Devlin. Devlin.
Senator Devlin. How do you vote?
Dingfelder. Farioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. President Courtney. Excused. Walker, 29 ayes.
House Bill 2540A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Other business of the Senate, in accordance with SR 8.40 sub 3, committee referral list number 90 was distributed to the members April 9th. The referrals will be recorded in the journal and the status report, so ordered. Announcements. Chair recognizes Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Democrats, get your lunch. Come to caucus at noon. Noon.
Are there further announcements? If there are no further announcements and without objection, the Senate is adjourned until 10:15 Tuesday, April 4th. Late to the party, Senator Burdick, you have an announcement.
I have an important announcement, Mr. President. To all my colleagues, I've seen everyone wearing their pedometers. Be sure to turn in your steps. It's supposed to be as of last Friday, and that's how I'm doing mine. But the pedometers are very slow, so go ahead and turn in whatever you have on your pedometer today, right away, so that we can get credit for all the steps we took. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. If there are no further announcements and without objection, the Senate is adjourned until 10:15 Tuesday, April 14th.